I got this great job in a gas station. I don't want to say how much I'm getting, but let's just say it's a lot. I'm enclosing $2.
That's a good boy.
It's a lot of fun working. And
Ron Ananian
is really nice. He's teaching me how to be impatient.
I said it before, and I'm going to say it again. You've got to be out of your mind to fix cars.
I want you.
The Car Doctor, you know, an alternator and an ABS control module to just start throwing parts like that at a 21-year-old car without some sort of firm diagnosis. It's like trying to take a long walk off a short pier and not expect to get wet. I think somewhere along the way somebody's going to get in trouble.
Welcome to the radio home of Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor. Since 1991, this is where car owners the world over turn to for their definitive opinion on automotive repair. If your mechanic's giving you a busy signal, pick up the phone and call in. The garage doors are open.
But I am here to take your calls at 855-560-9900.
And now...
The new phone book's here! The new phone book's here! I'm somebody now! Millions of people look at this book every day!
Here's Ronnie.
Hey, it's time to start your engines. Hello and welcome. Ron Ananian and the Car Doctor here at 855-560-9900. How great is it that we get together each and every weekend like this and enjoy talking about cars? And I'm glad to have you here with me as we sally forth. And you're listening to the Father's Day edition of the Car Doctor as we honor dads all across this great country of ours. I know mine sure did a lot for me. He was gone early, but I can honestly say I don't think I'd be fixing cars today if it wasn't for my dad teaching me about things mechanical and what it was, what they're all about. As he did when I was a little kid. It's quite the thing as I think about it going backwards. And, bringing it to mind. So this hour, and maybe this hour, maybe next hour, but sometime this weekend, we're going to give away a $25 gift card from the folks over at O'Reilly Auto Parts because we appreciate dads and they appreciate dads. And Father's Day is June 17th. So we want you to know that you can stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts. You'll find gift cards and other hundreds of great Father's Day gifts from the folks at O'Reilly Auto Parts, from tools to air compressors and flashlights. What dad doesn't need more tools? My hand's up. O'Reilly Auto Parts has exactly what dad wants at guaranteed low price. Says O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day, as we say. So we're going to be doing that this hour next, a $25 gift card. The decision of the judges, namely Tom and Tony, is final. But we'll do that this weekend as well. I want to talk to you about the uh-oh moment. The uh-oh moment happens every once in a while in auto repair. And, you know, it's the root cause of every gray hair on your head if you're a mechanic that you just realize, like, what happened. 2010 Subaru came into the shop this week, and we've been planning this repair, no lie, since February. It took us the better part of 3.5, almost 4 months to get a transmission for this Subaru, this 2010 Subaru. It was a CVT. They were on back order. They had problems, and they were recalled, and then they were released, and then they were recalled again. So long story short, the $7,000 transmission finally showed up. We took it apart on Monday. You ever work on a car and, you know, you're like, you're sure the part you're after is in there somewhere. You just have to keep taking things apart to get to it. And that's really what you basically do with this vehicle. You just keep taking things off until you can finally get the trans out. It was one of those jobs. So we finally get the trans out. Big, heavy guy, too. That trans had to weigh 500 pounds or more. My guess is 6, but maybe I'm just getting old now. Heavy, you know, big. Combination of transmission and differential. We slung some engine hoists around the lift arms and dollied it off the trans jack when we got it out of the vehicle, and we dollied the new one in place using the lift arms and bay two, and then swung the trans into the car. And Danny was very careful. We were both working on it. We were both, you know, just everything had to be just so, because this is a big job. This is, you know, by the time with labor, this is, you know, upwards of $9,000. And we're done. We finished it the second day. And we were really happy. We put it in gear. It worked. It was flawless. Everything did what it was supposed to do. We took it out for a road test. We're all excited. You know, the $9,000, $10,000 transmission repair went well. The week is off to a great start. It's now Wednesday. We kept it an extra day to be sure. Or was it Thursday? It kind of became a blur at that point. I think it was Wednesday. And I was in the office. I was answering the phone and doing some front office work, and Danny was in the bay, had the car up in the air and just checking it over one last time, and I just hung up the phone and I heard, uh-oh. That isn't exactly what I heard, but I can't say that here on radio. And it was like, wow, what, gee, Dan, what's going on, I said, or something like that. Now, the way Subaru makes this is the front differential has its own fill. And the fill comes in from the top, and then there really isn't a drain plug. There's an overflow sight plug. So you fill the front differential until the gear oil gets to the right level, and then it spills over, and eventually it spills down to the proper level, and you put the bolt back in, and you're done. Kind of, I don't know why we can't do this with a dipstick, but I guess it would take 2 cents to make a dipstick, but that's a whole nother story. So Danny saw a sweat of gear oil on the side of the case by this overflow drain tube plug area. And we're looking at it, and the case is actually porous. There's actually, it actually looks like there's a hairline crack right in the side of the case of the 7,000, did I tell you this was a $7,000 transmission? Of the $7,000 transmission? That I believe is there. I really believe when they refinish the trans, I think they tumble it, meaning that they put it in with some shot peen and they scuff the case up and clean all the aluminum off. And, you know, it's a form of sandblasting, bead blasting, however you want to describe it. And I think they weaken the case. When they put the plug in at the factory, I believe they and spread the threads a little bit, and oh boy. Now what do you do? You know, it's not really a, it's not so much a priority in the sense that once the gear oil finds its level in the trans, that's going to be it. It's not going to leak anything anymore anyway, and there's no fluid on it. There's no real pressure on it. But now you've got this $7,000 transmission that you sort of can't get another one of, that you waited 3.5, almost 4 months to get. And what do you do? Washed off the case really good. Got all the gear oil out of it. There's a product out there called Permatex, the right stuff. Another product that works so well that it should be illegal and probably is in certain states, because why would something that makes sense actually be able to be used on a free and abundant basis? And with just the lightest little bit of a schmear is something you do when you're having a bagel with cream cheese. Well, you also do it with RTV. You just give it a little right over the case, just right where the porosity was, right where the seep of gear oil was, that hint, that stain. And you let it sit overnight. And you go home and you say your prayers and you talk to God and you talk to the mechanic God and you say, come on, you know, like, what do you do? Because, you know, what do? Do you take the trans back out and wait for another one and hope that you get it? Do you, you know, put the old trans back in that didn't work, which is why you changed it in the first place? The customer was at the point with the old trans where it would stall when he pulled up to a traffic light and drive. And that couldn't last forever. And you come in the next morning and you look at it and you breathe a sigh of relief because it's bone dry. And it's okay. But it's one of those moments when you hear, uh-oh, in a repair shop, not a good thing. It's kind of another word, but I can't say it here. And we delivered the car. And that's a true story from the bays this week that really happened. And Danny, we told the customer about it. He's well aware of it. He understands. He agrees. We told him, look, it's still got warranty on it, but you know, I don't know if we can get another one. And the fact is, I don't know that I want another one. This trans works. You know, I don't know what the next one's going to be like. The funny thing, the one that really bothered me was, so I told the boys at Subaru about it. And my Subaru guys are great. And they were telling me, you know, that's the second one. And I said, what do you mean that's the second one? Well, we had one about 3 months ago that we bolted it in, and the case was warped on one side where the starter bolts up, that it didn't sit flush against the block. And we couldn't figure that out. We ended up having to pull it back out and send it back to Subaru. And we're still waiting for warranty from them that they'll actually make good on it and give us credit for it, which kind of told me that I did the right thing because I could just see us standing there waiting for warranty. We're not even a Subaru dealer. I can't imagine how much of a hard time they'd give an independent repair shop. But the decisions that you have to make on a daily basis in auto repair to, you know, do the right thing, get the car back, fix it properly, daunting to say the least. So, but we sorted it out. And that's what this show is about. If you're new to us, by the way, we're here to help you sort it out. We're here to help you answers that make sense and help solve your car problem. And we're glad to be here for you at 855-560-9900. The phones are backed up. They're lit up. Let's pull over and take a pause. I'm Ron Anini and the Car Doctor. We'll come back right after this and open the garage doors. Don't go away.
Don't you hate when you need some expensive part or service? It sure makes maintaining your car a frustrating task. Thankfully, Pep Boys has over a million parts in stock, like batteries, filters, brake pads, and more. And if you need a little extra help, the Pep Boys pros will install the part for you. Since 1921, Manny, Moe, and Jack's legacy has been to provide quality parts, service, and tires to people everywhere. So the next time you need car advice or simply want a service done, head to the pros. Visit your local Pep Boys or shop online at pepboys.com.
Welcome back. Ron Anini, the Car Doctor, 855-560-9900. As we get through this radio show, I've got my work cut out for me this weekend anyway. I've got to work on the hot rod this weekend. There was a see, this is why you should never close the headers. I had the headers open. I was out running around this morning with it, and we had the cutouts open. And when I closed them, pulling into the garage, I heard tick, 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 tick. Uh-oh. So I think one of the rocker arms is loosening up or something's going on. So we'll have to work on that tomorrow. That'll be my Father's Day experience. Let's go over and talk to Robin in Steuben, Maine, 92 Toyota pickup truck camper. And what's going on here? Robin, welcome to the Car Doctor.
Thanks, Ron.
Yes.
So in a fit of insanity, I flew to Florida last year and bought a pickup with a camper body on it and drove it back.
Which was the insanity part, the drive it, the flying, or the buying the truck?
Everything.
Yeah. Okay. Well, listen, you go through that. It's
everything.
Know.
I had to buy 8 new tires on the way home because they were dry rotted from the sun in Florida.
Maybe you went mad from age. Maybe it was an age related thing. It happened.
Well, it was 2014 tires. They were like, I got the receipt, but in 4 or 5 years in Florida, I don't know how long they were.
Right.
Anyway, they
yeah.
were no good,
yeah.
and when I got home, I discovered it had termites. So I've rebuilt the whole thing, and my problem now is everything was working.
But there's always a but attached to that.
Yeah. Well, there are 5 red marker lights and 5 amber marker lights on the top of the camper part.
Okay.
And they were working with my taillight system. Until I connected up the house 12-volt system, and I went down to have it inspected, and I had no taillights, I had no running lights, so the fuse was blown.
Right.
So after I panicked and called the Car Doctor Thursday, I disconnected the wires to the upper lights, and changed the fuse. Now I've got running lights on the truck part.
Right, but not on the top part.
No, but I think I know what I've done. I didn't go to O'Reilly Parts, Auto Parts. I went to another place that didn't have 2-wire marker lights. I had marker lights that were grounded through the body. So this got an aluminum roof, fiberglass sides. The roof is sheet metal.
Okay.
So I figured in my wisdom, what the heck, that'll work, and I'll connect the negative wire to the aluminum. And when I did that without the house connected to it, it worked a treat. All the lights worked. Now they don't, so I'm going to have to, I think, go back to what I should have had, which was the 2-wire marker lights that are not grounded to the aluminum roof, because something else must be.
Well, the other thing to think about here is, do we have an issue with too many lights on that circuit?
Well, there's 10 plus 6 There's 16 lights altogether.
Okay, and what's the fuse rating?
15.
All right, so if you've got how many lights? 16?
Yeah, I got the taillights, two side lights in the back.
Well, let's do the math.
The front,
if each bulb draws one amp, guess what?
Yeah, I'm close. They're the little
close,
tiny bulbs
in
the marker lights, the ones that the bayonet, they're like all glass, and they got the little metal bayonet, you know, and you plug
right.
them in there.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, it's if each one draws an amp, you're over. So you're at 16 amps. So that's why the fuse, or that could be why the fuse is blowing. So why can't we split the circuit? Why can't we split the power feed and just put another 15 amp fuse on the circuit? Do you have some type of a small amp meter you can clamp on and see what each bulb is drawing?
I've only got an AC meter, amp meter. Well, yeah, I do. I got any number of them. I just retired as a air conditioning refrigeration technician.
Yeah, they usually
so
have
I
a switch.
Be able to figure something out.
Yeah, they usually have a DC and AC. The meters go both ways.
Yeah, I'm trying to.
So why can't we just do that and figure out, you know, bulb draw? But if you're lucky and each bulb draws 3/4 of an amp, you're still awful close.
Yeah, I'm still awful close. So I'm less panicked than I was.
Okay.
I know where the problem is now,
right,
and what the problem might be. But I had another question for you, which is a sort of a, in my quest to get older cars instead of newer cars.
Okay.
There's a 47 GMC pickup truck that's built on, that's the body built on an S10 frame with a 307 Chevy automatic. It runs, it sounds good, the body, you know, the body of the old truck is actually together. The frame looks good. The problem is that the bed of the pickup part has got that metal, you know, the slats and the wood.
Right.
That's all rusted out. So
okay.
it needs a bed.
Yeah, it's no big deal.
And the guy wants $10,000 for it.
Well, you know, if you can find something comparable for $7,000, then it's only worth $7,000. If you can't find another one and you really want it, and you've got yourself tested for insanity, and you know that it's not another moment of insanity like the Toyota and the trip to Florida, then it's worth $10,000.
Well, I just have to drive 25 miles down to the next town to look at this one. I don't have to fly to Florida, which
right.
is a whole other scene, as my wife has had two hip replacements.
Right.
And she sets off the metal detector in every airport we ever walk into.
Oh, boy. But, I mean, you know, listen, before you buy the older car that's in Maine, that, you know, if it lived its life in Maine, how rusty did it get and so on and so forth, maybe your wife wants to go to Southern California. You know, maybe we want to find a vehicle out in Southern California. If you got to get on an airplane,
I know.
Maybe you take a plane
ride
there.
My 03 Ranger is just about to succumb to Maine rust.
Right.
It's
right.
doing well at 248,000 miles mechanically.
Right.
But rust-wise, the body is toast.
I've always found that if I want to buy an older vehicle, my wife is more than willing to go and see it as long as it's in Hawaii. The problem is, how do I get it back from Hawaii? I haven't found one that floats yet. But good luck in your search, Robin, and good luck in all your endeavors. And keep staying insane. Sometimes you need that to keep the balance in life. I'm Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor. We are back right after this.
What's more fun than listening to Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor, and getting that car fixed right? 855-560-9900. Give Ron a call. Now, back to Ron.
Hey, we're here. Let's go over and talk to Troy from Texas, 06 Buick. What is this, Troy? Is this a Buick Lucerne or a LaCrosse?
Oh, it's a Buick Lucerne.
Lucerne. So, what's going on here?
I put it in the shop. And they told me I had an upper oil pan gasket leak, and they had to take the motor out, flip it around. I wanted to know, like, is that what you have to really do?
Yeah. This is the V6, right? This must be the V6, the six cylinder.
No, it's a V8.
The V8. The V8 is actually the V8 is actually easier to do from what I remember. It's the engine stays in the car, the front exhaust manifold comes off.
Mm-hmm.
The V6 is a lot more intense. The V6, the lower engine cradle has to come down, and you have to put the support bar on it because the there's nothing left holding the engine or the trans in. So what kind of dollars did they quote you?
He told me like, because I had to get a. He told me like $2,000, like $2,100, something like that to do it.
Yeah, I would just question him on the procedure, because from what I remember, the V8s, the 4.6 V8 is an easier swap to do. It's and then let me ask the other question: how many miles are on the car?
109,000 miles.
109 or 190?
109,000.
109. So in the case that the engine had to come out of the car, why aren't we just resealing the engine? Why don't we just go through the whole thing?
Yeah.
Right? If that's the procedure, which I don't think it is, but just in case it is, at least then get some bang for your money. How big is the oil leak?
It's pretty big. It's pretty big. He said it's pretty big because he said when he looked up on it, it says oil out in front of the car. That's what made me take it to the shop, because I had just happened to look up under my car. Like, man, why is all that stuff under my car?
Okay.
So I just took it in. So I had an oil leak, and I was just like, all right.
The other question I've got is, at 109,000 miles, is it just the oil pan gasket? What does the rear main look like? Listen, I'm a bang for the buck kind of guy. If I've got to take an engine out of the car, I want to get to all the hard stuff at once. I don't want to bring it back in 6 months and go, hey, Troy, guess what? We got to pull the engine back out because today we're going to do, this. I want to get it all done at once, but I don't think so. My memory is to do an oil pan gasket on a V8 Lucerne. It's done in the car. All right, the front exhaust pipe and manifold comes off.
He said it was the upper oil pan gasket.
Oh, he's talking about, okay, he's talking about the girdle, all right? In that case, the engine may have to come out of the car. That's different, all right?
Okay.
That's different. Now, if the engine does have to come out of the car, what's it going to cost to reseal the entire thing?
Yeah.
All right? Because once it's out, let's reseal it. And, the other thing that I always have in the back of my mind is, why did it start leaking? It's easy to say, it's just old and, the gasket failed. Or I believe, now I'm thinking about this, I think the upper oil pan gasket is an RTV seal.
Uh-huh.
All right? And if it's an RTV seal, then why did the RTV fail? I'm going to say never, which I'm probably forgetting something, but I'm going to say I rarely see the RTV fail in the seam seals between the pan and the gaskets, or the pan and the block on the GM products of that vintage, and a lot of them. RTV generally doesn't fail. It's either something blew it out, or there's a leak somewhere else that they're not following it down. So,
okay, man.
And let me just put this thought in your head. Is this your regular mechanic? You know these guys? You trust these guys?
I had got a car done by them maybe 7-8 years ago. I've been having this car. I just got this car. I probably had about 3 months, and then just started doing this. I just said, I'll take it to them again.
Right.
And then I took it to them, then they had gave me a quote on my doing my transmission and then doing this. And then I had said, I'm going to call another mechanic. And then he's like, they're charging you too much. They're trying to charge you too much for all that.
Yeah, maybe it's time to get a second. Maybe it's time to get a second opinion on this. Just because something's just starting to add up cockeyed.
Yeah. Because he told me for a whole job, it said like $4,500. I'm like, man, that's too much money, man.
Yeah, that's to fix the oil pan leak and put a trans in it?
Yeah, and I have the transmission. I bought a new one already.
Right.
And he was talking about that's how much it was going to be. I'm like, oh, no, that's too much money, right? So.
Well, it's only too much money. Let me be devil's advocate here for a minute if I can. It's only too much money if that's not what the job is worth. If the car really needs a transmission and, you know, but it's like you need more information here. And somebody needs to, and, you know, listen, you ever walk into a deli and say, give me roast beef on a hard roll, lettuce, tomato, mayo, salt, pepper, and you don't question it, right? And you don't, mm-hmm. you don't question it because it's, you know, $7, $8, $9, right? It's not a big deal. Walk into a repair shop and say, hey, I need the engine resealed or I need an oil pan gasket, a trans swap, and they come up with this number, $4,500. Okay, tell me how you got there. I want to see the tomatoes. I want to know the lettuce. I want to know how much roast beef's in that sandwich. I want to know the details. Is this an arbitrary number? Show me where this is. You know, if the shop is $100 an hour and it's 30 hours, that's $3,000. Show me where it's 30 hours. 30 hours is it one guy working 10 hours a day for 3 days or 4 days at 8 hours a day? You get my point. You know, start to count hours. How are we doing this? You know, it needs an explanation, or it begs an explanation. By the same token, if these are your regular guys and you trust them, but then again, I've got to say, if you trusted them, you wouldn't be calling me. Most people that you know, they've got the relationship with their mechanic. They're not calling me. So I guess it's time for a second opinion. Can I ask you a question? How do you listen to the Car Doctor? Where do you listen to us down in Texas? Are we on there on radio, or are we on podcast, or what are we doing?
I had my brother-in-law, he had a car job before, and he was like, hey, man, just call them, man, they'll tell you what to do. Because my girl, like, I was talking about it with my girl, she said, just call my brother. So I called her brother, and he was like, just call the Car Doctor. I said, all right, I'll call the Car Doctor.
There you go. You made my man Tony smile. Tony wants to know where you live in Texas.
Oh, I live right Austin, Texas.
Austin, Tony. Yeah. Tony says good barbecue in Austin.
Oh, yeah. You know, it goes down to Texas.
Yeah, well, Tony's a Texas boy at heart, so, but yes, sir. So, listen, go talk to your mechanic and get back to us. Let us know what happens next week. Would you do that?
All right.
All right, Troy. Good luck to you, babe.
All right, thank you, Ron.
You're welcome, sir. Take good care. 855-560-9900, Ron and Andy, the Car Doctor, and Tony going to Texas for some barbecue in Austin. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back, Ron and Andy, the Car Doctor. Let's, I guess we're going to Hawaii. Wayne, did you get permission from, no, I guess it's okay. Wayne in Hawaii, Wayne in Maui. How can I help you, sir? What's going on?
Aloha, Ron. I've got a 04 Nissan, often a 2.5 gas fuel pump. Seemed like the car ran out of gas, had it towed home, ordered a fuel pump. First one was wrong. Second one is California Mission, 6 little screws on top. The factory went out. It's only got 79,000 on it. And, the factory went out, got a new one from eBay, put it in, checked all my relays, switched them around, all my fuses, checked that they were all good, shot some starting fluid in the intake to make sure the motor would run. And I can hear it come on because you lift the back seat, and that's how you get to the pump.
Right.
So it's right in the car, so I can hear it with running cycle, but it won't pump. So my question's been to any mechanic I know, what could make a fuel pump not pump?
So the pump runs electrically?
Yes, and I took my ohm meter to it, and in the key position on, I got power all the way through, and it cycles. Like I said, you can hear it. As soon as you engage the key, you can hear it come on. I put the high-pressure hose in all the way, made sure I had a good connection, good ground, whole 9 yards, and it won't pump.
Then I've got to say it's an internal fault in the pump itself.
Pardon me?
It's got to be an internal fault in the pump itself.
Yeah, I have a new one coming. I was hoping to get here today. It was just a stroke of luck that I even got on the show.
Right.
I've been listening to you for years and years. And I'm a mason by trade, but I'm kind of handy with tools.
Yeah. I mean, let me just say it like this. You know, back at the pump, I believe it's a black, yellow, and a black. Black, yellow is power from the relay.
Yeah.
And black should be ground. I would, you know, find that connector. Here's the ultimate question it always comes back to, right? Will the circuit handle the load? Okay? So, I would go out, and I've got a couple of them kicking around the shop. I've got old school round and square headlights. An old school headlight is a great test tool, all right? It'll put anywhere from a 6 to a 10 amp load on the circuit, and, you know, you'll see it light up. So I would take that headlight, and I would disconnect the fuel pump connector in this case, and I'd wire it to the black, yellow, and the ground, the black, and turn the key on. That headlight should go on for up to 5 seconds, which is fuel pump prime. That's when the computer would cycle the relay in the IPDM to run the fuel pump. Does the headlight light up? Yes or no? If the headlight lights up, game over. That's it. It's the pump. There's just not a lot else it can be. Or there's contaminant in the tank that's somehow clogging the pump, the screen, not allowing it to run.
It's immaculate. Inside that tank,
yeah.
Ron, is immaculate.
Right.
Because I can look right down in there when I take the fuel
right.
pump out.
Yeah, no, I kind of figured that. I'm just saying. But from a lot, I just don't want anybody else out there going, well, wait, Ron, what if it's dirty in the tank? One of us had to mention it.
Absolutely.
You know, so, but I would just want to be sure, do I have 100%, do I have proper voltage? Because if
I did that with my partner was here, I put the ohmmeter in the power plug and had him cycle the key on.
You were using it as a voltmeter?
Just to keep you honest.
And that's good because, you know, the number one failure on that vehicle, the Achilles heel on that vehicle, is the fuel pump relay in the IPDM, in the power distribution module under the hood.
Right, and I switched those around.
Okay.
And I actually tested them and then switched them around just for giggles. You know, I used one for the heater defrost, same relay, basically. There's three of them right there with a standard 15 amp fuse.
Well, wait a minute. Time. My understanding was, from what I remember, the fuel pump relay, why do I think the fuel pump relay is not available separately on that car?
I'm not sure, but I Googled and YouTubed everything, and it says the fuel pump relay is right up in the front in the little box there where all the wires go into.
Okay, do this, because I'm up against the clock. Let's just make sure you've got the right relay that you're swapping. Take what you take what you believe is the fuel pump relay out. Just take it out. Does the fuel pump still make noise? Does it stop, trying to work? If it stops trying to work, you got the right relay. If it doesn't stop trying to work, then you got the wrong relay, and now you've got to verify voltage all over again.
Okay.
Right? Prove it's bad. Make me a believer, brother.
Not bad for a dial guy, huh?
All right, yeah, you're doing all right. Listen, you come to New Jersey, I'll put you on work for a week. You can get a T-shirt and a rotten cup of coffee on Friday. I spent the week with the car doctor and survived. So let me know what happens, Wayne. Either that or I'll come to you and I'll bring the coffee. 855-560-9900. The car doctor's back right after this. Welcome back. Ron and Andy, the car doctor, holding court this hour at 855-560-9900. Let's go over and talk to Dave in Iowa with a 2018 Dodge Charger. Dave, welcome to the car doctor, sir. How can I help?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome, sir.
My situation is kind of odd. I just wondered if you'd ever run across it or if you have, maybe you can give me some advice as to what to do. But,
sure.
I bought a 2018 Dodge Charger with SRT motor in it, whatnot. But anyway, from the dealer, I had the car coated with a product called Silijet, and I did have the car brought. I bought it off the internet, and I had the car delivered via transport. never noticed any problem or whatnot, but later, about a month or two later, lifted the hood and noticed that there was these cosmetic spots all over the plastic parts of the motor, and no matter what we used to try to, you know, to remove it, it's almost like some type of a
like a stain
like a
stain, Dave. What is Silajet? What was it supposed to do? Quickly, the clock's going to take us.
Well, the Silajet is meant to put a coating on your car that basically you just wash it with water.
Okay, have you gone back to the dealer and talked to them?
Well, I did reach out to them. I actually went to the Chrysler people and.
Dave, I'm sorry. The clock's going to take us. I've got to go. I'm Ron and Annie, the Car Doctor. Good mechanics aren't expensive. They're priceless. Dave, call the dealer. Work it out with them. Call me next week. I apologize.